right, gals and pals, game on. It's time for the Sports Gal Pal Podcast, where we help gals and their pals come together over sports. Don't hate the game, love the game.
Or at least find out why he loves it so much.
Now your host, the Sports Gal Pal herself, Ramona Rice.
Well, hey there, Gal Pal Nation. Welcome to another episode of the Sports Gal Pal Podcast, where we help you understand why he screams at the TV during a game. I'm your host, Ramona Rice. You can connect with me on Twitter at Sports Gal Pal, and of course on sportsgalpal.com. And it's my Thursday show, What to Expect This Weekend. And on tonight, it is Jimmy, the Carolina Panthers superfan from Next Fan Up. Jimmy, welcome back.
Hey, thank you. What's going on?
Nothing much. You were a little late coming on the show. I thought I almost was stood up. You know, I don't know how you feel about that. I know it was an honest mistake, but I thought you cared for me more than that, Jimmy. My God.
I know. That was on me. I was, I'll be honest with you, I was making an Asian beef stew that turned out to be pretty good that I caught a recipe online. So that's where I was going.
So you, all right, that's fair. You had to take care of business. I get it. Well, let's take care of business now. This weekend, normally I start right up with college football. I am a huge college football fan, despite the fact that my university and my favorite college football team, the University of Virginia, seems to hate football, as it took them three overtimes to overtake a really bad Syracuse team at home. And I don't even go into it, Jimmy. I refuse to talk about Virginia football anymore. I just don't want to.
Can we move on? But yep, we're moving on.
It's so sad. But we were, you know, discussing, you know, every time I have this episode, I usually try to get with my kind of co-host guests, you know, what do we want to talk about? And Jimmy and I were looking at the schedule for college football. It's not really that much, many exciting games. Like, not really. I'm looking. The only two, like, ranked, you know, both teams ranked, it's Michigan State. Texas A&M versus Ole Miss. Ole Miss is coming off that horrible loss to Memphis, which I think is fantastic, by the way. Go Memphis. And then, like, Baylor versus Toledo. Ugh, I don't get it.
Yeah. There's nothing going on. They, like you said, it's bad this week, which is sometimes you need a week to recover from previous weeks. I have my personal interest.
Yeah, what is your personal interest?
One of my personal interests is if you have nothing going on Thursday, Temple at East Carolina, number 22 Temple at East Carolina. I think that's going to be a good game to watch. I'm kind of good at East Carolina games here and there, and I believe East Carolina is favored by 5 points maybe. I don't have the spread off the top of my head, so the non-ranked team is favored. It is at East Carolina, so I'll be watching that if you got nothing going on Thursday. But even the Saturday games, it's not a good slate. It's more so a weekend to recover. I mean, Clemson at Miami could be something interesting to watch. Other than that, I mean, Duke, Virginia Tech, just because it's an ACC match. We could watch Tennessee, Alabama. We could watch Tennessee have another heartbreaking loss. And Texas A&M at Ole Miss, that's the best game of the week. That's about it.
I argue with you. That is not the best game of the week. The best game of the week is going to be James Madison University and Richmond, the University of Richmond, coming to town, because College Game Day from ESPN will actually be at the campus of James Madison University, which is here in the lovely state of Virginia. And as my audience may remember from our preview, you are also a excellent resident of the fair state of Virginia. We are both in the Hampton Roads area, 757. What up? So I argue that is the best matchup. Yes, game day is coming to Harrisonburg. And I've been to Harrisonburg many times. Everything's purple. It's a great little town if you ever get a chance to see it. You know, it's really super cute. It's about, 30 minutes away from Charlottesville. I like hanging out there. So that should be kind of cool, and it'll be interesting to see, you know, that on game day. But other than that, yeah, this Saturday, this is the best Saturday, ladies. If you or the non-sports fans, I should not stereotype, but come on. If you need, like, your person to go do errands or go antiquing or apple picking or run through, like, a corn maze or whatever it is that you do to celebrate fall, this is the Saturday to do it. Because really, there's nothing really on that if he doesn't, and then if he misses, it'll be okay. This is why God invented Twitter and Bleacher Report. So Jimmy, I want to say this is the weekend that wives everywhere can claim their husbands back and say, let's go do something outside. Do you agree?
Definitely. At least for Saturday. For the JMU, the Richmond JMU game, for anybody that's interested, that's a little fun fact. I don't know if you knew this or not, but Todd McShay went to Richmond. I always thought that was interesting. But that should be a good little matchup there. And anybody that lives locally, this would be a good weekend to go to the outlets in Williamsburg versus watching a game on Saturday. Saturday's kind of, whatever.
Yeah, it's just not a good week to watch college football. So I'm giving you a hall pass.
Some sort of Oktoberfest. Yeah, there's got to be some sort of Oktoberfest beer fest going on that you can go catch instead of watch a game on Saturday, and then you can catch up for that 8 o'clock game, whatever's on TV, probably Notre Dame or USC, something of that nature. But I would definitely try to find a beer fest going on.
Yeah, the only 8 o'clock game I see right now is Troy versus New Mexico State. Let's see.
Night.
It's just bad. I mean, yeah, just skip football this Saturday.
So
I plan to.
If you are staying late up on Saturday, I think a sneaky game would be Washington at Stanford. Just specifically, if you're interested in the USC coaching job, I think Chris Peterson, even though he is a new coach at Washington, the former Boise State coach, I think if he finishes the season strong, I think he's a decent candidate to fill the USC vacancy. If you're interested in that, that's Washington at Stanford. I think that'll be a sneaky matchup. That's something to pay attention to. But like you said, there's not much going on. Ohio State plays at 8. Who cares about Ohio State?
Well, there are a lot of people that do care about Ohio State. I'm not personally one of them. I don't dislike them. Well, that makes sense why you don't like them, because you are an Oregon Duck fan. Speaking of Oregon Ducks and USC, I found it interesting that Chip Kelly, former coach of the Oregon Ducks and now the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, has been mentioned several times for that USC vacancy. For those who do not know, at this point, USC does not have a head football coach because he was an alcoholic and he needs help. And I'm glad that they removed him from his position because that just, no. You cannot be there's no such thing as a functional alcoholic, especially one that's in such a high-profile position as the USC head football coach in that crazy Pac-12, which has suddenly become very competitive. Stanford looks very, very good in the Pac-12. I like them a whole bunch. Sorry to my Cal fans out there, because I know that they're bitter rivals. So, yeah, this is the weekend. Just skip. It's okay to skip. Watch College Game Day at James Madison, see all the purple, enjoy the Dukes, all that stuff. Yay. And then let's move on to Sunday. Sunday, there's some great games. I am very much looking forward to Jets at the Patriots. I was so happy that the Colts, with the exception of whatever the heck that punt weirdness was, I can't even describe that play. Like, I've watched it a zillion times. I don't understand what happened. I want someone to understand it. But it seemed like even like Chris Collinsworth and Al Michaels, when they were watching it, they couldn't understand what had happened. It was the craziest thing I think I've ever seen. And this was after us dealing with a Saturday in which Michigan State, you know, what was it, like only a 2% chance of winning, won that game. Like, there was some craziness this last past weekend for football. But I feel like the Jets are going to finally give the Patriots some real competition. Their secondary is very, very good. I feel like their offense is actually clicking. Fitzpatrick seems to be very comfortable. Chris Ivory is just, like, rolling over people. Brandon Marshall is such a great fit into that offense. I know because I have him as a wide receiver in several of my leagues, and he's giving me double-digit performances every week. Thank you. But we can't discount the Patriots. Of course, they've got, you know, an incredible lineup of offensive weapons. Tom Brady is looking really good. You got Gronk, you got Edelman, you got all kinds of cool guys in there, plus Belichick, and it's the Jets. It's a rival game. I'm looking forward to watching that.
Yes, agreed completely. And what I really hope the Jets, because in years past, this game would be always a close match, especially with Rex Ryan. He's always running his mouth and kind of jabbing at New England and keeping it close. But I hope Todd Bowles takes a different approach and just shows up to the field, do what they have to do, and then leave. I hope Todd Bowles doesn't fall into that Rex Ryan mix, which I don't think he will. I think Todd Bowles is the coach that the Jets need to really beat New England on a consistent basis. And they're coming off. No, they beat Washington last week. But I think the Jets, this could be a game New England loses very easily. I think it's going to be a close game. I don't know how they're going to – I don't know if they're going to pair Darrell Revis up against Gronk. I don't think they've done that. That's been the strategy in years past. I'm trying to think, like, when Denver played New England, if they put Aqib Talib on Gronk. I don't think they did. I'm trying to remember what corner they put on him specifically. But that's an interesting matchup to watch how they cover Gronk. And that defensive line that the Jets have is one of the best in the league. That's definitely probably the best game of the week. If on Sunday, 1 o'clock game, looking at our slate locally, that'll probably be. I don't know if you have the NFL package or not. I do not. So I'm always stuck with what games are on the local channels, and I'm just looking at what's being on CBS. And Washington will be on the Fox channel, and Baltimore plays Monday night, so that'll probably be the game that'll be on channel 3 for us.
Hopefully, yeah. We sometimes get some really bad games, just because, again, we're in Redskin country. Yay! Yeah.
Like I said, we'll probably get, like, Cleveland at St. Louis, just something that no one cares about. Or no, Pittsburgh plays at 1. I bet you we get the Pittsburgh game
we're going to get Pittsburgh game. They do. This is like a mini Pittsburgh. For a lot of people who don't know, where Jimmy and I both live is, a ton of naval shipyards. We have two major ones, and we've got a couple little ones. And so in the 1970s, when all the steel mills closed in Pittsburgh, a lot of those workers actually migrated down here and settled. So we actually have, I would say, a ton of Steeler fans here in the Hampton Roads area, which is like Virginia Beach, Williamsburg, for those people outside of our area listening. And there's a ton of Steeler pride. And then you've got Mike Tomlin from here, Michael Vick from here. So it's a lot of Hampton Roads in Steeler country. So yeah, we probably would get stuck watching that. Because they're playing the Chiefs, and the Chiefs are not the Chiefs we expected. I kind of feel bad for your guys' super fan, because I do like Nick a lot. But yeah, I'm not looking forward to that game. Jets, Patriots, definitely. Get yourself to a bar. Get thee to a place where you can see that game, because I think it's going to be really good. Patriots fans, particularly Patriots organization, I have no problem with, because their players are fine. It is their fans, like your leader, Pod Vader, who I'm so over. I'm so over the revenge gate. I'm so over the, we are oppressed and we're going to go on the revenge tour and this and this and this. And then they finally get their revenge and it wasn't that good. Like, the only reason that the Colts didn't beat them is because the Colts are really bad this year. I'm so over it. You cannot be an oppressed fan base when you have 4 Super Bowls in a decade and you are undefeated going into a game and your quarterback didn't actually get suspended. So you're not oppressed. So stop it, New England. Get over it. Rise up like the champions you are and just win. If that's what you want to do, I'm cool with that. But stop whining about something that didn't actually happen and didn't actually affect. So just like you guys claim that the balls didn't affect the game against Indianapolis, which I do agree, because even with properly inflated balls, they wouldn't have played any better. That suspension affected nothing of your ability to play football this year, because you had your quarterback. So stop whining about it. Move on. Just, I'm over it.
Yes, everyone's over it.
No, not some of them. They will still bring it up. They will, because they can't help themselves. Because they, they're a fan base who claims, oh, we don't win, we don't win. And I'm going, if you think about it, there are 4 major sports teams. Red Sox has won 2 championships this century. The Patriots are a freaking dynasty. The Bruins, last year was pretty bad, but they've done very well the past couple of years. Mm-hmm. And then the Celtics weren't lousy the last couple of years either. So all four teams have risen up and won something in the last, say, 15 years or so, as much as this century has been going on. So that fan base, there's no other, I looked at it, there's no other major metropolitan area that has all 4 major teams covered, like types of sports covered, that have won as many championships as the New England area. So they no longer get to whine anymore. I'm officially declaring the whining over.
They're going to keep going. They're going to keep whining, because that's what they do. And you can, if you want to even add more to their budget, you can throw UConn basketball into that mix for them. I'm sure they enjoyed those national championships, but the Boston fan base might be the worst, and it's just they're the worst people to deal with.
Boy, we just make Podbitter really angry. I don't care because it's true. I'm just over it, over it, over it, over it. You know, does this mean does that mean if you and I start whining about our teams, we'll win Super Bowls too? Because I can start whining. I whine about Virginia every week. Does that mean I'm going to win a national championship? No.
Well, to be fair, if the Redskins were having the success that the Patriots were, and the Redskins fan base would be the worst. They when they win a game every Sunday, they think, oh, now's our chance to go to the Super Bowl. You're still 1-6. You're still the Washington Redskins. So the Redskins might be the worst, but yeah, the Boston fans, the Red Sox, just kill me.
Just all of them. Just no. Speaking of going to rivalries, Cowboys Giants are the 425 that will probably be played in our local area. Me personally, I think I'm not sure which one I want to lose more, you know, because the Cowboys can't face any more injuries because pretty much everybody good is injured. They're getting some key pieces back. But the Giants, I obviously was not impressed with them Monday night. Philadelphia had seven interceptions, and yet we still managed to beat them by 20 points, something like that. So the NFC East is officially just a dumpster fire, and there's no real there's nothing really to be proud of in that division, in my personal opinion.
No, nothing at all. If I'm a Dallas fan, you got nothing going on. All your stars are hurt. Being a Carolina fan myself, I would want Greg Hardy to make some sort of noise. He's got to make noise on the field, but he needs to do something. I think Greg Hardy doing something to get media attention, not negative media attention like he got last year, but some sort of attention, maybe just calling out Eli, calling him soft, doing something to get some attention. I think Dallas would really do well with that. I'm not one for that type of talk, but I think Dallas needs some sort of spark, whether it's negative spark like that or something to get them going, get this second half of the season going. The Giants, they were so bad Monday night. It is incredibly. I couldn't believe how inefficient their offense was other than that first drive of the game. But that's just like typical Eli being Eli. Like next week he's going to look like a Super Bowl quarterback, and then the following week he looks like the worst quarterback in the league. It's what Eli is. I think New York will win this game just because Dallas is still short people. It's at New York. New York can't embarrass themselves 2 weeks in a row against a divisional opponent. But, they very well could. But I don't know if you heard on the game last night, they were talking about Jason Pierre-Paul and his deadline coming in November. And, what do you think about – do you think he comes back and is effective, or do you think he's done as a Giant?
I don't think he's done as a Giant. I think he comes back and makes some sort of impact. I mean, just because, again, it's another person you have to defend and you have to count for. I would be really curious more curious if Victor Cruz comes back. Because, as much as I'm a Philly fan and don't like the Giants, I do like him. He disappeared. Odell Beckham, he's dealing with, the hamstring issues. It's not looking good for the Giants. But here's the thing with the Giants. Every time you think, oh, they're terrible, they wind up winning a Super Bowl. And, all historic factors going on. The Patriots are undefeated and they look like they're going to roll through everything. The Giants are playing crappy. All of a sudden they'll get a wild card spot and they'll manage to go to the Super Bowl and beat the Patriots. I mean, it's definitely to happen again. Not that they need yet another Super Bowl appearance, but yeah, I don't know what's going on with the Giants. I feel like, honestly, Tom Coughlin probably should have been fired or removed eons ago. When you have to hire a coach to help you talk to the people on your team because they're so much younger than you, it's time. He's 70 years old, and at some point you got to hang up the hat. He's done so much. He's won 2 Super Bowls. He's going to make it into the Hall of Fame. Be done. like let it go. I just feel like this team could use some new, young, fresher coaching. I say that, though, because I'm dealing with new, younger, fresher coaching, and it's not always fun to watch. So you got to be careful what you wish for. But I think, like, honestly, they're not going to see any really true success until they figure out what's going on, you know, on the sideline, because I just don't think it's working right now.
I mean, this could be the typical Giants make a late run, go deep in the playoffs, and then they re-sign Tom Coughlin for another 4 years, and then we're hearing the same story again. Well, he should have been fired in 2009, 2010. But do you really think Tom Coughlin's a Hall of Famer?
I think when you win two Super Bowls the way he did, I think so. I do. I think so. I think he'll at least be considered or be on a ballot somewhere, but I think so. I just because of the way it happened. I mean, you know, how many other coaches have done what he's done in postseason to get his team to not only win, but be particularly because they stopped the Patriots from going undefeated that 1 year. That's a Hall of Fame performance too. So I think that could happen.
Yeah, if you stop the Patriots from being undefeated, I'm okay with that. You're okay in my book. Tom Coughlin, he cracks me up. I love, have you seen all like the memes on Twitter, the different Tom Coughlin faces, the different Eli faces? It's just it's the same stupid crap in New York, but they've made it work over the last couple of years. I mean, the years they've won, it ever seems like they go to the Super Bowl, win, and then the next 3 years they're 7-9, 8-8, and then they're searching for a coach, and then Tom Coughlin wins another Super Bowl. It'd be funny. Would be funny if they beat New England one more time. I would be okay with that as a result of the Super Bowl this year. If they just beat New England and kind of just walk off that way.
Yeah, I mean, that's one way to go off to the sunset. So the Sunday night game is the Eagles at the Panthers. I am terrified of your team. Ooh. It's funny. When we did our two-a-day episode, it was before, you know, the injuries plagued the Panthers. So, you know, and I remember texting you going, do you want me to go and play? And he goes, yeah, go and play it because I'm devastated. I just don't even want to talk about football. Now, and I am over here drinking like the green Kool-Aid that Mark Sicko, the Eagles super fan from Next Fan Up, who I do adore, and he's fantastic. But he's all like, yay, Rob, Chip Kelly. And I'm like, yes, Mark believes in him. I believe in him too. And this season has been one of like, it's a roller coaster and I'm exhausted, you know? Your team is sneakily good. I think we all forgot how there's this quarterback named Cam Newton, and I think he's earning his money right now because he's really keeping you guys in games.
Oh yeah, he is. He's been, and if you look at the fantasy numbers and the stats, he's not putting up crazy stats, but the way he's won the games, especially this last week in Seattle, I think that was a big, big growing game for him. And just the way he's doing it, he's got no help. Our running game has been non-existent. This last week was our best performance out of Jonathan Stewart. We had no receivers. It's like we hope for a Ted Ginn 75-yard touchdown and hope for the pass interference if he doesn't catch it. It's been incredible to watch him take over the game and make these throws. And I couldn't – this last week against Seattle, I think there was three or four big-time drops by Devin Funchess. And if he would have caught some of those catches, I think we would have scored a little quicker. But he has zero help outside of Greg Olsen. I don't know why the team isn't double-teaming Greg Olsen on every play. It's just – it's been really, really amazing to watch him step up and just take over a game when he needs to. Especially with the offense not being there and the defense being average this year. But I would not – I mean, like, I say that in all excitement about the Carolina Panthers, but I would not be too afraid of them, especially on Sunday night where we tend to not show up on primetime games. I can just remember the game we played you guys last year, and we didn't show up till this week coming up. We still haven't shown up. We got blown out last year, so that is in the back of my mind, and I'm sure it's in the back of mind of the Panthers trying to get some revenge, but it's just been a consistent thing with the Panthers the last couple of years. We do not show up on primetime games.
Yeah, I'm curious, because your last game, you guys went into Seattle and beat them. It's a very hard place to win when you're the road team, but do you think it's because you guys are really that good or Seattle really that bad? And that's a question that came up on Knicks Fan App on the previous show, on Thursday show, where all the guys were like, no, it's going to be Seattle. Carolina's not going to win. I think one of the guys picked Carolina. I forget which one, because I don't really keep track of it that much. But all the guys were like, no, Seattle's going to win. Seattle, come on. Carolina hasn't played anybody. And you guys go in there and you handle business. And you do. And I'm just going, me personally, take off your super fan hat and just your football mind. Which is it? Is Carolina that good or Seattle that bad?
I think it's more of a middle ground. I think Carolina's good. I don't think they're great. I think Carolina is a type of team that can win the division, maybe a playoff game, and that's about it, unless Cam just completely turns into an animal and plays better than he has been. I don't think Seattle's terrible, like a lot of people were saying. I don't think they're as good as they have been. I think losing Dan Quinn and just another year on the Seattle philosophy in the league, I think that's starting to rub off. But I do think Seattle's still a good team. I think they'll still make the playoffs. Going into Seattle is still a hard place to play, and I definitely think Seattle will be a dark horse towards the end of the season. Whether or not they make any damage in the playoffs, because they'll most likely be traveling on the road, we'll see what happens there. But I don't think Seattle's terrible by all means. I definitely think they're better than at least 15 teams in the league. I just think this early stretch of the year, I think there's been a lot of mediocrity across the league. And I think Carolina has shown that they are a good team. And I think a lot of people write off Carolina because we don't have any superstars other than Cam Newton. And it's just been a simple formula that Dave Gettleman has installed since he's arrived. It's just keep quiet, keep chugging along, And Carolina, I saw after the win on Sunday, they have the longest winning streak for the regular season right now, longest current winning streak at 9 games. They've won 9 regular season games dating back to last year. And I mean, that's just, I think that's a kind of what their formula, just kind of stay under the radar and keep chugging along. But, I don't think Seattle's terrible, but they're definitely not as good as they have been in the last couple of years.
I agree. I don't think that the Eagles it's going to be a close game. That's the way I'm putting it. I never like to say scores because I never understand when people do that. You don't know what they're going to score. There's no way to know this. I do think if the Eagles win, it's going to be because they didn't make any major mistakes. They can't go in and do 7 interceptions because Carolina will take advantage. I don't know why the Giants didn't take advantage of those, but they didn't. So or maybe Philly defense is better than we thought. I don't know. It's going to be an interesting game. I'm excited to see him, and we'll see what happens.
I think it'll be really interesting philosophy-wise because Chip likes to spread the field out, get the ball out quick, and let his playmakers take off and run. And Carolina is one of the best tackling teams, especially at the linebacker level, with Luke Kuechly back, Thomas Davis, and Shaq got hurt last week, but I think he'll be playing. If not, then A.J. Klein is still doing relatively well. But I think that the philosophy-wise, this is a good matchup of opposite styles. I think the defense matches well with the Chip Kelly offense. But the one drive Philadelphia had on Monday to open up the second half when they went up 24-7, that was, I think, the best drive Philly has had all season. And if they can perform one or two of those drives a game, I think that's enough to really wear out a defense, especially a team like Carolina. It doesn't have a great pass rush, but they make the tackles, they make the plays. I think that if you can sustain 2 of those drives, I think you're pushing pushing the hand towards Philly to win the game. But I think it's going to be very interesting to see those linebackers spread out and make those tackles as Chip spreads the field.
Very good. I'm so glad you're on today because you are actually a hockey fan. I am not. And I don't know if it's because my husband doesn't watch hockey or I'm just not into hockey, but you are. So it's always cool to have somebody else talking about hockey because I would not be the person to come to talk about hockey at all. Like my reference of hockey, seriously, gang, and this is embarrassing, is the Mighty Ducks and the movie Miracle. Nice. That's about it. Yeah. So that's all I got. So unless it's the Flying V, I have no idea what's going on. So what's happening? Because I didn't realize you guys started so early. Like, I mean, they're already like going at it.
Yeah, they are. And like, I wouldn't say I'm a great hockey fan, but I used to be a big fan hockey fan back in the day before they went on strike a couple years ago. But I'm a Carolina Hurricanes fan, and they're absolutely terrible. This is a complete rebuilding year for them. So they're off to their great start at the bottom of the standings, like we expected. So if you're looking for a cheap hockey game, you definitely can catch one in Raleigh. That's only 2.5 hour drive. But no, looking across the rest of the league, it looks like everything's up to par as most people expected. Montreal's one of the, Montreal, the Islanders, Rangers. We get a lot of coverage of the Capitals. I think they're going to be a good team again this year. And the Western Conference is the beef conference right now. But hockey's just getting going, and the big teams are rolling along as planned, and the crappy teams are still there. It's hockey season, definitely. It's definitely hockey season. Did you realize that, speaking locally again, that the Norfolk Admirals got dropped down to a different league? They're back into the what's it called?
I don't know. Like they were used to be either they're in like the league or they're like the minor team for the Anaheim Ducks, which makes no sense whatsoever because we are literally clear across the country. Like our other AAA affiliate, which is the Norfolk Tides, is actually the farm team for the Baltimore Orioles. And that makes complete sense because that's a quick 5 hour drive, you know, up 95. But us being the farm team for the Anaheim Ducks makes no sense whatsoever. Hockey for me, like, and I don't know if it's the strike. I don't know if it's because of the realignments. They have teams in weird places that don't really like need teams. I just, unless it's like, you know, like the Red Wings or the Blackhawks or like the Bruins, the Rangers, the Islanders, the Kings, you know, those kind of stale weather, you know, guys, it just seems odd to me. It's a weird sport. It's basically soccer on ice, and I don't like soccer either. So, you know, it's one of those teams where, I feel like if I had somebody to guide me through. So I'm going to put this out there, Gal Pal Nation. If you are into hockey and you want to help the Sports Gal Pal understand why hockey is awesome, I am all for it. You can email me, Ramona@sportsgalpal.com, and help me through this because I would like to know more about this because hockey fans are incredibly passionate. They do crazy things. I feel like the players are just as nutty as baseball players. I think it's because the seasons are so long and they spend so much time together that they do crazy things. So that's fascinating. And then the things that happen to the Stanley Cup are gross. Like people eat cereal out of it or lay their babies in it or do God knows what to the Stanley Cup. And it gets passed around. It's really, really sad what happens to that poor thing. So hockey, you know, I feel like it's one of those things where it's a tribe mentality around your favorite team. And if you love it, you love it. And I do like where the Carolina Hurricanes plays in Raleigh because I actually got to go there a couple years ago for NCAA basketball regional when it was the regional there and Virginia was the one seed. So that was fun. And that's a really good arena. So yes, but yeah, hockey's just one of those things where I'll go to a live game and I'll enjoy it, but I don't understand anything that's going on. So it just, again, it just shows that there's so much out there in sports that there's bound to be sports that you are going to love. And in sports, you're just like, I appreciate the athleticism, but it's just not my thing. So hockey is one of those things. But again, Gal Pal Nation, if you're a hockey expert and you want to come on and explain hockey to me, I'm all for it. See, I'm being generous. Speaking of other fun winter sports, Jimmy, guess what? NBA starts next week. Yay! Basketball!
About time.
I'm so excited. Yeah, I love basketball. I am, just like baseball, agnostic. I do not have a team. Like, growing up, I liked the Bulls because every kid in the 1980s and 90s liked the Bulls and we wanted to be like Mike. I don't really have a team anymore. I like players. Like, I'm very interested to see how the University of Virginia, Justin Anderson does well. Well, hopefully he does well with the Mavericks this year. I'm looking forward to seeing him. But other than that, it's just, again, I'm just curious to see if some of the same storylines come back. You know, I'm curious to see if Golden State is still going to dominate the way it was, how LeBron and the Cleveland Cavaliers are going to look. Really curious to see what's going on with New York, just because of the simple fact that they used their great draft pick to pick some guy no one knew, and people in New York still haven't gotten over that. And NBA for me is always just a good league to watch because I feel like it's more manageable. Like, it's still a long season, but it's manageable. It's a little bit more contained in its watchability. So I don't know if you are you a Bobcats or Hornets fan. They changed recently. So are you sticking with your Carolina guys?
Yeah, thank God. Thank God it's back to the Hornets, because the Bobcats, it was so embarrassing to tell people I was a Bobcats fan. It's just like, it was, the colors are bad, the mascot logo is bad. It's just, it was probably the worst logo in sports. And thankfully, the New Orleans Pelicans took that title for us and gave us the Hornets back. So at least we look good on the court. We're not playing good on the court, but at least we look good. but I think this year's season is going to be really interesting. I think this might be the last season we see Durant and Westbrook together. And then our boy from Florida, I can't think of his name right now. He's now in OKC. So that'll be interesting to see how they change, if they change. And then was it Chris Porzingis, the guy the Knicks drafted? I think he's going to be fine. New York wants star names, star players, and that guy just doesn't fit that bill right now, but I think he'll be fine. As New York fans, they want the world. I definitely think Golden State takes a step back. I mean, there'd definitely be a 1, 2, or 3 seed in my mind, if you want to call that a step back. But this year's gonna be shaping up the real interesting year, especially with San Antonio kind of loading up. Looks like one more championship run to get Tim Duncan and their guys at the ring. And I think the Lakers are gonna be much better than people think. I really like what they did in the draft. And then, I think this year is going to be really competitive, especially the West is going to be West of the beast. The East still is at the bottom of the barrel. But if you are looking for an NBA team, because I was kind of in your boat as well. I was a big MJ fan, big Space Jam fan. So I kind of helped. I'm a Carolina guy all the way through. So him owning the Hornets kind of helped my case fall in there, even though he might be the worst owner in sports. Kind of forget about that and just realize that Michael Jordan is better than half your team and just roll with it.
So I have a funny story about Michael Jordan. So a couple years ago, my husband was doing some corporate training in Charlotte. And since it's a quick plane ride from where we are, I took it because he was there for 2 weeks. And so I was like, okay, I'll do a weekend trip out there. And Charlotte is a great city. If you ever get a chance to go, go. It's fantastic. The people are super nice and it's super cool and it's awesome. So we saw they were the Bobcats and we got some great tickets. They were actually playing the Lakers. And we got some great, basically almost courtside tickets behind the bench. And Michael Jordan sits with the team. And then there's Patrick Ewing, like right there too, because he's an assistant coach. And I'm looking going, oh my gosh, it's my childhood all over again. I just need Reggie Miller to pop out and we'd be all set. It'd be awesome. Michael Jordan sits there. He does not acknowledge anybody. He's watching the game. But you're looking going, oh my God, that's Michael Jordan. And he's huge. I mean, he's a really tall guy. Like, my husband's 6'7", so I'm used to tall guys. But then you see Michael Jordan and it's like, it's Michael Jordan. It's like a real life superhero. So that's it. So I was basically 5 rows away from Michael Jordan. So that's about as close as I'm ever going to get to Michael Jordan. So, but yeah, and it's a great arena because they sell Bojangles chicken in the arena. I don't know if you knew that.
Oh, heck yeah. Yeah, I do.
Yes. So you can get fried chicken, which is delicious. It's a regional treat here in the mid-Atlantic kind of southeastern area. And you can get biscuits and chicken while watching basketball. So it's totally random. Yeah.
Off topic, I was out towards Hickory right before the Outer Banks toll. There's a Zaxby's out there. And it completely blew my mind. It's like, we have a Zaxby's here now.
That's crazy. Anybody who's ever been to like the Outer Banks area, that's North Carolina. It's where all the Nicholas Sparks novels take place. For those of you who do not know, but the Wright brothers, that's where they flew their plane. So now you get some little historic perspective. There's a Zaxby's out there. That's crazy. Like, who out there is eating Zaxby's chicken? anyway, that was way off topic, but yes, yes. I agree. You should get, I wish for your guys' sake, the Hornets were better. I do wish they were better. I wish the Wizards were better. They've gotten better, but I don't know if they're going to be good this year. So again, it's tricky. So it's easy for me again. It's easy for me for baseball and basketball just to be agnostic. You know, football, I definitely have my loyalties. College basketball, there is no question who I root for. But when it comes to pros, I'm like, you know, I'm just going to enjoy the game for the game's sake. And it makes it, for me, a little calmer. So I'm not like, my heart isn't beating really fast. Unless it's something awesome happening, like, again, Golden State or seeing LeBron's amazing run last year. I mean, he's just ridiculous. He is just ridiculous. I love it when I can watch LeBron James. So yes, very good. All right. And one more thing to talk about, because this is the best time of year, in my opinion, because literally every sport is going on. College basketball starts in mere weeks. Jimmy, I don't know about you. I cannot tell you how excited I am about college basketball, because for college football in my life has not been enjoyable. If you've listened to the show, all of you know my woes and moans about my favorite college football team. Well, my favorite college basketball team is going to kick all kinds of awesome butt this year. I just fully expect them. Finally, this is the year. This is the year we get into the Final Four. We might win a national championship if we stay healthy, if they stay strong, if they defend well, which we can. I just feel like this is the year. I want it so badly, Jimmy. I can just taste it. I really want us to be cutting down nets in Houston. I really, really want it. So I am looking forward to it. I don't know if you're a college basketball fan or not. I know that you're an Oregon Ducks fan. Do you like them also for basketball? Because they have that cool court that looks like a forest.
Oh, I love their court. But, I mean, I'm kind of like you when it comes to the NBA. I don't really follow a college basketball team. My buddy's trying to recruit me to be a Duke fan. I can't be a Duke fan.
Oh, don't do that. No, don't do that.
Bad news there. I don't want to talk about myself, but I'm sure a lot of people are in this scenario. I'm trying to pick a team on the East Coast that's going to be on TV often, so that pretty much limits me to the ACC. I want a team that's going to be there. In contention most of the years. So, I mean, I look at the ACC without being I could go Syracuse, but they had the scandal going on. I could go UNC, but then I look like that normal UNC guy with the hat and look UNC. And Duke, I refuse to go Duke. I can't be that guy. And then we got our team out there in Louisville who is a good team, but they got another scandal going on.
You didn't mention Virginia at all. What's up? You can't. It's 3 hours away, Jimmy. It's 3 hours away. I will bring a hat back if you need me to. I have plenty to cheer. My God.
Maybe I need to go to the Virginia game just to convince. I'm being recruited right now. I have four hats at the table right now.
All right, let me give you my pitch for Virginia. Yeah, again, I'm very biased. I went there. I love it. But let me give you my pitch for Virginia. And this is why they are consistently good. Number one, they've got this guy, Malcolm Brogdon, who is absolutely phenomenal. I just love this guy so much. So much poise. He was our best defender in that Team USA kind of debacle in Canada. But he really played really well. We have Anthony Gill coming back. Mike Toby, if God, he can realize that he's 7 foot gargantuan man, can realize that. We've got, London Perrantes is one of the best point guards in the country, period. And hello, Tony Bennett. Can I just tell you how awesome Tony Bennett is and how awesome the fans are that we've gotten behind the pack line defense? And I get it. So many people are like, oh, it's boring basketball. It's not boring when you're winning. Trust me, it's a lot of fun to watch boring basketball. It's fun to hold Harvard to, like, what, 12 points and a half. That's fun. That's a lot of fun, Jimmy. That's so much fun to tap your head and go, shot clock violations. And this year, the shot clock lowers in the NCAA. So it was 35 seconds last year. Now it's 30 seconds. You think it's going to be any easier to get a shot off in Virginia? I don't think so. I am super, super, super excited about UVA basketball. So please, dear God, Wahoos, do not disappoint me. I will be devastated and may have to give up my podcasting career. And I really like podcasting, so don't do that. Seriously, if you get a chance ever to go, I will tell you, literally, season tickets, like, I was on the waiting list for season tickets, and I didn't get them this year. So tickets to UVA game are going to be super expensive. I may actually travel I'm looking at maybe traveling to like Atlanta to Georgia Tech to see a game. It might be more affordable. Or if we play like, you know, at Wake Forest or like NC State, that might be easier to see Virginia play. I mean, and that's how popular it's gotten, where they will, even when the students aren't there, they will sell out, you know, the 18,000 seat arena that is John Paul Jones Arena, which is gorgeous. And it's designed to watch basketball. There's not a bad seat in the house, even in the rafters. And, the hometown, which I love, Charlottesville has really gotten behind this team and gotten behind this coach. So it's really built a culture. I mean, you saw it last year when game day came. I love it. I watch every game. I watch every tip off. I literally schedule the kids' schedules around it. And I've told friends, I'm like, I'm sorry, I cannot go out this Saturday. I must be at somewhere where I can watch my Wahoos play. So I am super, you know how Mark Sicko is about his Eagles? I am that way about UVA basketball. So be warned, Twitter. It will be obsessive. So I fully, you know, maybe this year you can follow me and I will guide you through the force that is Virginia and you can make a decision. I don't want to force you into anything, but I will say, you know, it's very convenient. They're 3 hours up the road. But if you bring bad luck to teams, please don't like us because we don't need any. You know, seriously, it's just a great culture of just winning. And I love the fact that it seems like there's this kind of new guard with the ACC. I mean, we do have 4 amazing coaches and we're going to get into the Louisville situation in a second, but you know, as much as I dislike Duke and their fans are fake, by the way, I've got so many stories about that, but you know, and with Roy Scott and Coach K and Jim Boeheim and, you know, Patino, I mean, we've got the best coaches in the ACC, and Tony Bennett is starting to really build his resume. And we've got a couple of guys, you know, the coach of Miami, Wake Forest should be really good this year. So we've got some contenders. I feel like, you know, Notre Dame obviously does really well. So I just love being part of the ACC. I think like it is the premier basketball conference in the country. I don't care about Kentucky. I don't care about any of the other pretenders. The former Big East, whatever it is. No, it's all about the ACC. And for me, it's all about Wahoo Wah. So, sorry. That was a long diatribe about my love of team. And it's going to be a long season probably for Galpa Nation if you don't like Virginia. Oh, well.
I used to follow Villanova a couple years ago when they had Scotty Reynolds, because he's from Northern Virginia. But I never really followed a basketball team. I don't know why. And another part of my pitch is I have a lot of Carolina colors, like my wardrobe, so I can't go with like a random team like Louisville where it's red and I have no red clothes. It just doesn't go with a Carolina hat, so I had to stick with that blue theme, not necessarily Carolina blue, but I had to have blue in my team.
Well, Virginia has blue. It's a lovely shade of navy.
They do.
The orange pops. I think that would pull off your coloring really well. I'm just saying, just think about it, just consider it. All right, let's talk about what's going on in Louisville. So, we just cannot help ourselves, college football or basketball fans. You just can't help yourselves. There is yet another scandal with a major team. This time it is Louisville. And basically a madam named Katrina Powell has written an explosive book alleging that she provided prostitutes to the University of Louisville basketball players and recruits and was paid for their services by staff member Andre McGee. Outside the Lines on ESPN reported largely supported Powell's claims, citing 5 unnamed former players and recruits who said they attended on-campus parties that included strippers who were paid to entertain and have sex with players and recruits. Very, very naughty. So that's going on. The NCAA does not want Rick Pitino, the coach of Louisville, to say anything. He finally came out today and said that Andre McGee needs to say something, that he knows the truth. It's going to take forever before all this washes out, but it's just, you know, this, you've got what's going on in North Carolina with the whole academic, I'm not sure what's going on scandal. You've got the suspension of Syracuse with, you know, Jim Boeheim, what is it, like 9 games or something, and they can't do postseason. I just, it's, you know, as much as I love these Hall of Fame coaches in the ACC, I'm just wondering if this is kind of the beginning of the end for some of these coaches. They're getting up there in years anyway. They don't want to deal with the nonsense of the NCAA. Some anyway, but yeah, that's the kind of thing that I mean, that it's just like, it seems like no matter what we do, there's always scandal involved in college sports. And basketball is one of those sports. Basketball and football are the two that cause the most. So I was curious if you had any thoughts on this, or I know that you may not have, because it just broke today. So it's a very interesting story. You know, I'm just like, It's just very interesting because Rick Pitino already looks like a mobster, you know, when he comes out in his like white suit. Sometimes he looks like Scarface a little bit. Yep. So I wonder if that's the attitude. I don't think he's a mobster. He could be, though. He really could be. He should be. You're in law enforcement. You should look into that.
He does look like Al Pacino a little bit, looking at his picture.
Yes.
I don't know. The whole college world is you recruit players to come to your university and play, and then when you do play, you bring so much money to the university, and the players don't see a dime. It's just between basketball, football especially, because those are the two big major sports in the college world that media thrive on. It's just, it doesn't surprise me that this sort of thing pops up. It wouldn't surprise me that it happens more often, that you kind of have someone do some favors for you to help bring in a big name recruit. It just, the formula is there for it to happen, and I don't know how you stop it other than policing every little thing. It's just, the college sports world is just very, very on edge, whether it's finding out how ways to win, get the best players there. I think it's just going to, it's the type of thing that I think is going to happen over the years, because that's you're trying to do your best to get the best players to university. And especially if you look at the lower tier colleges, not these big name stars, if you're a coach who's on the edge of losing his job, you're going to try to do everything you can to get the best players to your university so that you can retain your job. So it's a very edgy thing in college sports. But like I said, I bet you these type of things, maybe not to this extreme, but are going on throughout the nation and at various levels at the college sports levels.
Yeah, they do. And it's just interesting, again, the amount of money that we're spending, that we invest time in. And again, as I just gushed over the University of Virginia, probably for like a zillion minutes. But, you know, we have to remind ourselves that these are student athletes. This is an amateur competition, technically, and that the real role of a university is to educate people, not necessarily to provide entertainment in the form of sports. But it's very much shifted, because I think, honestly, when people think UNC, they don't think of a school, they think of basketball. They think of, when you think of Alabama, you think of, you know, football. You don't think of a university. So it's definitely become a cultural thing in our country where I'm just wondering, again, how long this can last, because we've already dealing with, you know, issues of, do we play players? How do we pay them? How do we compensate them for their likenesses? But how do we keep it amateur? And so I think the next couple of years are really going to tell us whether or not, you know, the college sports in the way they are survive. Because also, you know, you've got bigger schools that will be able to afford to really pay for athletes and pay for things, and other schools who just won't be able to, you know, and tuitions are already so, so high that I just feel like the whole system is ready to just pop like a big bubble. So I kind of hope not, because again, college sports is my happy place, Jimmy. It's seriously, I mean, I watch college baseball for God's sakes, but I'm also a UVA fan. So of course I watch college baseball, you know, but yeah, it's such a weird thing. Like, again, logically in my mind, I'm like, no, we need to get this reined in. We need to remember what the universities are really there for. But my heart and my fandom is going, no, I want all the basketball and all the football and screw classes. Screw them. They don't matter. So it's going to be interesting to see. But definitely take a look at that. And again, we are not really touching on baseball because, you know, right now it's Mets or Cubs. Royals or Blue Jays. Right now the Royals look like they are going to take the Blue Jays out. And then the Mets, the last couple of games have just looked ridiculously good. I mean, just ridiculous. Matt Harvey on the mound has just been phenomenal. Granderson has just been great for the Mets. Can we talk about Daniel Murphy and his awesome? And I feel bad for the Mets that he's going to be a free agent next year, because I doubt he's going to be on that team next year. I really like the Mets in this series, which may lead to their doom, because I like them. So I'm not sure if you caught any baseball recently, but it's been, this postseason has been very entertaining.
Yes, baseball is my first love and always will be. I'm an avid baseball player. I actually played 1 year of college baseball at Christopher Newport. So I've been following these playoffs very closely. And for those folks out there who are just don't understand baseball, can't get into it, it's too slow, and you might have an interest in trying to watch something this postseason, this this has been one of the best postseasons in a long time that we haven't had. And it's just been really incredible. Right now we're recording on Tuesday night. Game three of the Mets Cubs is on right now, and they just tied it 1-1 in Wrigley. And Wrigley is going nuts right now. If you are anywhere near Chicago, that is a bucket list item, is to go to a game at Wrigley, let alone a playoff game at Wrigley. I mean, this is a town that is waiting for the Cubs to explode. But if you are trying to watch, I mean, if you're trying to get into the playoff or get into the postseason, excuse me, really watch the Mets. The Mets aren't the best team. I mean, if you look at the standings, the Cardinals have the best record, and it's not even close. But when you look at the Mets, they have the three dominant pitchers that you need to succeed in postseason play, and their offense is going nuts right now. And if you really just want to watch that formula, why you don't understand how the Mets were a good team in the regular season, they're not the best team with the record. What's happening? And it's just they have that great formula right now for postseason success. Over to the American League, if you want to watch the Royals and Blue Jays could get really ugly. The Royals won earlier today, so now they're up 3-1. Well, there's one more game left in Toronto. This could be game five, could be a real ugly game in Toronto, especially if things start going south for the Blue Jays. They got some mouthy players. Tulo got ejected last night. Bautista runs his mouth. That could be very high tense situation where people start running their mouths again and people get tossed. It's just been a great postseason. If you're not into baseball and you want to watch something, this World Series is going to be great, whether it's the Mets, Cubs, Royals, Blue Jays, whatever combination it is. It's been really a pleasure to watch.
Yeah, and I love that all four of these teams pretty much, you know, two of them, one of them doesn't have a World Series at all. And then the other ones we haven't seen them in postseason in so long. So it's so refreshing not to see like the same old faces. I think that's really great. I have been so enjoying the Mets Cubs series. Again, I've shared this on my show, and I just had a couple of Mets Met blogger on the show a couple weeks ago. But my dad actually is a huge Mets fan, so I'm kind of pulling for the Mets a little bit. Again, I'm agnostic when it comes to baseball, but also again, Hampton Roads' own David Wright is playing, so I can't help but kind of cheer for him a little bit. But then I'm like, historically, I'm like, Cubs, you know, they're kind of owed one. It's been 70 years, you know, practically since the last one. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I feel like it's going to be the Royals and Mets, the way they're both playing. I think that's going to be the series. And then I'm not sure who is going to wind up being the winner. But I think that it's really good for baseball to have such a really tight – I've enjoyed baseball more than I've enjoyed football. And that says a lot because I love football, but this baseball series has been so entertaining to watch.
It's been incredible. Even the division series before our championship series, the Houston, watching the Astros and their young studs, they got a good core going on, and it's a lot like what the Cubs have right now. They have that young core that's just going crazy right now. This is the next line of baseball stars that people are waiting for. Now that the likes of Jeter are gone, A-Rod's about to fade out, these are the next stars of the next generation that people are craving for. And we don't have the likes of Mike Trout or Bryce Harper in the postseason this year. It's just baseball is on the rise with the stars again. And don't forget about our boy Mike Kadire, another Hampton Roads guy from First Colonial. These playoffs have been really good, and the World Series, no matter what team you have, I think it's going to go six or seven. It's going to be a deep series.
Yeah, and I think this is just what baseball needed. I feel like, you know, it feels like a renaissance of baseball again. Like, baseball's fun to watch. I've really enjoyed it this season, so super, super excited. I had no idea you were such a baseball fan. That is exciting, Jimmy.
Yes, big-time baseball. I'm actually an umpire in the area and do all the scholastic and just starting to get into the college game. So I'll be doing, I do some ODU fall games. So baseball is definitely my first love. I'll talk baseball all day.
Wow, the things you uncover about the super fans. See, that's why I love having you guys on these shows. I mean, it was fun doing all the two-a-days, but it's great to get to know you guys like on this level because you get to talk about so many other sports. Like some of the guys are very clear. They only like football, and they only like their team football and NFL football, and that's cool. That's absolutely okay. But then you got guys like you who are like, no, I like all of it, and this is what I like to talk about. It's like, okay, great. So, you know, and I think that's awesome. So anyway, Jimmy, if Gal Pal Nation wants to follow you and talk more about baseball or football or Carolina or, you know, the fact that they too like only teams with shades of blue in them, where should they go?
You can always follow me on Twitter at 7576, the number 757 and the word six spelled out. A lot of people don't believe six is my last name, but it really is S-I-X, just like the number. So yeah, you can always follow me on Twitter and talk 757, whatever you want to talk.
Oh, you can listen to all these guys in Next Spin App. They've got Thursday shows where they preview everything. They do fan battles. And you can also catch them on Sundays where they do the recaps. And then follow all of them on Twitter because Twitter is where they're hilarious. Like today, Jimmy, I don't know if you saw this on Twitter or not. My feed was taken over by I innocently asked Mark how he felt about the offense this season. And he and I were chatting. And then Sam, the New York Giants super fan, couldn't help himself. He interjected. And then towards the end of the afternoon, Tim decided to pop himself in there. And I'm like, really, Tim? This has nothing to do with you. And he goes, we beat everybody in the NFC East. I'm like, okay, again, no one cares. Go away. I didn't even respond to Tim at all in that thread. But I go into a meeting, like at my real grown-up job. I come back, like, you know, I check Twitter and I have like a zillion notifications. I'm like, what in the world? And they just went on this like rampage of like trash talk. And I'm like, I'm exhausted. My God, all I did was ask one question. So if you want to talk awesome football or nonsense, follow these guys. Check out their podcast. I'm a huge fan of theirs. I'm the super fan of the super fans. What can I say? And you can hear them on blogtalkradio.com/nextfanup. And again, all the links to Jimmy Six, to you know, the guys at Next Fan Up will be on my show notes at blogtalkradio.com/sportsgalpod. And Jimmy, thanks so much for coming on. And again, I don't want your Panthers to lose, but I don't dislike the Panthers and I don't dislike you. So it's one of those times where I'm just like, you know what happens happens, because I'm going to be a good sport, because it's not like, you know, Dallas Cowboys or anything. They could lose every day, all day.
Yeah, Dallas could lose all day. So can the Falcons.
And yeah, at this point, I'm right there with you.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Gal Pal podcast. And be sure to check out sportsgalpal.com.